Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Michael Goodman, and I'm here to talk about succession planning. I'm very excited about our guest today, David Grau Sr. We're really fortunate today because he's been working in this industry a very long time. Not only is he president and founder of FP Transitions, but he's also an attorney and a former regulator. So he really understands the issues behind what many people are facing in trying to solve their succession planning concerns. There's a lot of numbers in succession planning, but here we go with David. He is in the third decade of his firm, FP Transitions. They have over 40 employees. They have five succinct areas that they work in helping clients. We'll go through those in a little bit. And he's written two books, the first on buying and selling and valuing your financial practice, and the second one on succession planning for financial advisors. So without further ado, welcome, David Grau Sr.
Thank you, Michael. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I thought we'd kick it off with a really straightforward, kind of simple question that probably has a complex answer, and that is, what exactly is a succession plan?
And the answer can be complex. In fact, I wrote 200 and some pages in one of my books on this. We define a succession plan as a gradual, incremental transfer of ownership, leadership, and production responsibilities from one generation to the next. A succession plan requires an entity where we use the stock in the business and we gradually sell it to next generation owners over time. A succession plan also takes, obviously, it takes more than one generation of ownership, but it also takes a fair amount of time. Most of the succession planning models we build, because of the way the stock is bought and paid for over time after taxes from the growth of the business, a succession plan takes a minimum of 10 years. The good news is that succession planning isn't about selling your business, which is what most advisors really don't want to do. It's about promoting internal talent, helping them learn how to be good stewards of ownership, to buy in, to invest not only in the place where they work, but in the business that they're going to help sustain. Succession planning is about growth over a long period of time. And those are good things from the owner's perspective, the next generation's perspective, and certainly the underlying client base.
You know what I love about your response is the emphasis on time. Over time, it takes time. 10 years. I think a lot of people, when they think of succession planning, they do have that knee-jerk reaction of sell. But I think what you're pointing out here is that this is actually a growth concept. The idea that A, this is going to take some time, it's going to happen over time, and B, is that it usually results in growing the business and the business becoming more successful and building it even further. And I think that's a great point to make from what you've just said. So thank you for pointing it out that way.
And in fact, one of my books is called Succession Planning for Financial Advisors, Building an Enduring Business. And that's what it's all about. So succession planning, it takes time, it takes work. But building a business that actually can outlive its founder and provide services to multiple generations of its clients, to the children and grandchildren of the current clients, that's a big deal. And we love to champion that. It isn't for everybody. It does take time, and it does take a fair amount of business acumen. But for those who can set that kind of a business up, you can make a mark on that part of the world, for literally generations to come.
That's great. So tell us why it's so important to have a succession plan, and does every advisor need to have one?
Well, I think the best answer there is I think every advisor should explore having a succession plan. In the end, it will not be for everyone. Building a business, investing another 10, 15 years of work into what you've started, mentoring and tutoring, retaining and rewarding next generation talent, that can be a daunting challenge, and it just takes a fair amount of effort and business acumen. But I think that by exploring the opportunity, reading a book on it, reading the white papers, talking to people who have done a succession plan, figure out whether or not you've got the time, whether or not you've got the necessary motivation, whether or not you think you can surround yourself with next-generation talent that would like to buy in. If you come to the end of that exploration and decide that succession planning is not for you, I think mission accomplished. You will have learned a lot about perhaps what will work and what won't work. But always explore the internal, grow the business first. I'd always start there. And then if it doesn't work, you've eliminated one path. It makes the other pathways in your life and business clearer.
What are some alternatives to having a succession plan?
One alternative, of course, is at the end of your career, when you're done, sell the business to a third party. Right now, we have about a 50-to-1 buyer to seller ratio for what we would call an exit plan. So you take and sell what you've built to a buyer who's 2 to 3 times your size, usually same regulatory structure, many times within a geographical similar area. Buyers will come in and take on your staff, all of your clients, sometimes your office lease. So right now it's a seller's market. It has been for a while. Don't know if that'll last forever, but that's one good alternative. Another, just briefly, is something we call synthetic equity. We have a new white paper coming out shortly that says, listen, buying and selling real stock, that's a big deal. We call it the opportunities and obligations call when we talk to the people about it. But synthetic equity says, well, there are equity alternatives. You don't have to buy and sell the full bundle of stock rights. You can grant or exchange smaller benefits of ownership without next generation advisors taking on the debt. They simply have to stay put and work with you until one day that business is sold. So these equity alternatives, synthetic equity, can sometimes be an excellent opportunity and an excellent alternative to actually setting up a formal succession plan, especially if you just simply don't have the time to execute a full one.
That's great that we have these alternatives. I think it's important, once again, people to understand what succession planning really is. Transactions are just one inevitable option in a succession plan, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So I think that's a good thing to point out. How long does it take usually to set up a succession plan?
And the best way to answer that is, how long does it take to build a strong, sustainable business? I mean, it really could be a career. But for the most part, we like to tell people, try and start the plan when you, the founder, are approximately around age 50. That gives you lots of time to work with. We'll need at least 10 years in most cases to really put a dent in it. 10 years, though, at the end of it, for the founder, it's not a matter of being done or not being successful. At the end of 10 years, if what you've succeeded in doing is created a multi-owner, multi-generational business that's growing, that's profitable, your younger owners are now working with the children and grandchildren of your older clients, even if you choose not to proceed with a complete sale of the business at some point in the future to a team of younger owners, your business will be better off for the activity. So I still think it's the place to start.
Well, I can surely attest to that. I've worked on my succession plan, and I found there to be so many positives to it and the reactions from so many different people, as well as myself, that it's been a really positive experience. What would you say an advisor should do when they're first thinking about this? What would be the first things to consider for an advisor getting ready to do a succession plan?
I think the answer is there are probably two things that are key that come to top of mind. One, learn more about it. that there's a lot of misinformation, almost myths in our industry, if you will, about succession planning and the notion that it's somehow it's selling the business. It's really not. It's building the business. But whether it's my book or a white paper or podcasts like this, take the time to learn more about it. And second, I would say invest in having a formal third-party valuation or appraisal done of your practice or your business. There's nothing like going through the exercise of putting all the numbers and the demographics, growth rates, profitability, P&Ls, and balance sheet histories on the table in front of a licensed, accredited, trained appraiser and having them come back and put a number on your life's work. Whether you like the number or not, it tends to be the largest, most valuable asset in our advisors' lives. And all of a sudden, that becomes the stake in the ground around which to move.
What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that advisors face in creating and supporting a succession plan as it carries forward?
I think that our clients who have set up a succession plan and been successful in doing so, and we do this about 100 times a year, so while it can be challenging and involved, it's not impossible. It's very, very doable. But I think that the struggles that most people have, one, they start too late. If you start this at age 63 and you only want to work 5 more years, a succession plan probably isn't feasible. The other big issue, of course, is next generation talent. And I say that with a smile on my face because, you know, you can't have a multi-generational business if you don't have younger folks who not only will come to work with you, but invest their career in building on top of the business that you started. That's a big deal. But it's even bigger than that because in most cases, these succession plans aren't populated by one next generation advisor. We call it a successor team for a reason. It takes 2 or 3 of them. The good news is you don't have to have everybody together at the start. And if you have 1 or even 2 really good next generation prospects, they can go out and find their own future partner at some point. That'll be their job. But getting that team in place and cementing them, their loyalty, their willingness to invest in your business and put their careers into it, and finding the money, those are the challenges. But like I said, 100 times a year, we work through those issues.
You know, it sounds like succession planning is really a lot like practice management. It's really a lot like learning more about your business, going through these processes as you get further along in the plan. You're understanding what the economics are of your business better. You're understanding your team and potential future owners better. And it sounds to me like that if you're working on your succession plan, you're probably going to be working on your business at the same time. So you're getting multiple benefits for the efforts towards one goal, it sounds like to me.
I couldn't agree more. Succession planning definitely falls under the umbrella of practice management. What people don't tend to realize is it's not one thing. Succession planning is growth rates. It's profitability. It's redesigning and modernizing compensation systems. It's adjusting the entity structure. It's about creating formalities in the business. A lot of owners, single owner S-corps or LLCs or even sole proprietorships, enjoy what they do, but they never actually get to the formal operations of the business. The CEO is a nice title, but there's no point to it if it's only one or two people in the business. What we're talking about is kind of rebuilding the foundations underneath the business, putting up stronger walls that are built to hold a 10-story building, not a 1-story building with a roof. So this, the whole process, whether you succeed or you fail, I think leaves the business better off for whoever is going to take on the responsibilities next.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it's financial planning for your business, and it's something that if we're fans of and are advocating that all people should do financial planning, planning for your business should be right up there with that. So I'm all in. Tell me a little bit about some of the bad side of this, though, from a standpoint of what happens when the plan fails. Not that bad in the sense that you're not trying to do the right thing here, but you go through this big effort to put a succession plan in place and a plan fails. Maybe it's because some of the challenges you mentioned, but, you know, what if the plan fails? What next?
Well, we plan for that. I mean, you just have to. In as a general sense, we've been putting together about 100 of these plans a year. We've been doing it for a long time. And what we've seen over time, looking back into history and coming through the recession at one point there, is that about one in three plans, we'll say fails, quote unquote, about one in three plans goes the distance exactly as designed, and about one in three plans accelerates and moves to the final stroke faster than anticipated, oftentimes with the successor team using bank financing. The one in three that fail, again, I chalk it up to you've learned something very, very important. If failure means we have tried this pathway, we've tried to bring in next generation talent, and for whatever reason, it didn't work, or we started too late, or the growth rates just weren't sufficient, the regulatory structure was challenging, we'll just say. If one of those things happens, let's check that box off and say, okay, we're not going to do the internal sale route. So what's next? Do we do synthetic equity alternatives? Do we do a sale to a third party? Perhaps a merger would make more sense. Small into our clients large, or our clients being small, merging into someone else's much larger business or firm. But all of a sudden, if you take succession planning off the table and say, we tried it, we have the following issues and failures that we simply could not overcome, so what's next? And with that knowledge, we're generally in a much better position to prescribe an alternative course of treatment and to remedy the affliction with different set of tools.
So most likely, if it doesn't work out the way you expected to, you're still left in a stronger position than when you got started. So I think that's the key takeaway for that point right there. Let's talk about the next generation of advisors and what you're seeing there. Tell me, are they usually interested in becoming owners?
They absolutely are. And in fact, you know, that's one of those things we, you know, 10 years ago, we hoped the answer would be yes. 10 years later now, we look back, and what we've learned is that 9 out of 10 next-generation advisors jump at the chance to become equity partners and to invest in a business. You do have to get past the math, and together, we as consultants, our founding owner, the next generation, we all have to collectively answer the question, where does the money come from? We won't go into that on this call, but the good news is there is a good answer to that question and all the possibilities that go with it. But technically, every time we ask, 9 out of 10 of the advisors look at the equity opportunity and say, do I want to be an owner? Is that a trick question? They literally look at that spreadsheet and smile and say, yeah, if that's the plan, I'll do that.
That's great. What happens if you don't have any next-gen advisors that are entrepreneurs or in your firm or interested? What are some other options there?
In Chapter 4 of my book on succession planning, I talk directly about that point. And here's the argument that I made. I don't think the successor team is or should be an entrepreneur. I think the founding owner did that job already. I think that is a great tool. When you build this new vessel and you take it out of dry dock, you need a very short decision chain. You need an intrepid leader who's fearless and will take that ship through storms or whatever to get it where it's going. But I also think that after 15, 20, 25 years, that business is going to get bigger. It's going to get stronger. As a result, you're going to need more people. and you're going to need more talent to run the business and take care of the client's needs. As a result, I think the successor team, a group of two or three, or if you think about this over, you know, 10, 15-year period, maybe even four next-generation advisors, they're not going to need to be intrepid. They're going to run an existing business. They're going to operate it off of current foundations that are going to be strengthened, but current foundations. They're going to have to work collaboratively and collectively as a group. Now, that's something that most entrepreneurs don't do. They don't have to. But as a group, this next generation also has something else that they have to contend with that our founding owner never did, and that is debt. So the next generation is going to buy into ownership. They're going to buy in on an after-tax basis in a growing company, and they don't have a lot of extra money in their 30s or early 40s. So they're going to have debt on the books for 10, 15, 20 years. Again, I think these are all reasons that you want a team that comes together. I don't think that they need to be entrepreneurs, but I do think you really need one good person to start the process around. If we have one good next generation advisors, that's usually enough of a seedling to get things started. If we have 10 years or more to work with, we can solve the problem together.
David, we have just a few minutes left, but one of the things I think I'd like for the audience to learn is, what are the five areas of expertise within FP Transitions, the firm that you're the president and founder of?
Thank you for that question. So one of the interesting things about how we work with folks in this process is we're non-advocacy, which means we work with employer and employee, two partners, mom and dad, son or daughter. And we just don't believe there can be a losing party in this planning process. But as you work with FP Transitions, one of the things you'll find that's very unique about us is that we bring a lot of different skill sets under one roof, and we coordinate those activities. So kind of from top to bottom, we have one group of experienced and skilled consultants. That's still a role that I play, and I love to do it. The next layer is valuations. We do as many as 80 to 100 formal appraisals a month for financial advisors. We're very good at it. We've done a lot of this work. Third is what we call analytics and compensation. I lovingly call them our math majors because I'm an English major. But this group literally rebuilds the future in a spreadsheet format and brings to life next generation ownership and shows them what they're investing in and what it could turn out to be with conservative future predictions. The fourth group is our lawyers. We've got six JDs under one roof. We don't do any hourly billing, and we don't believe in fighting. Enough said there. The fifth group is what we call transactions. So if you think about the first four groups as the trapeze artist, the transactions team is the safety net. If the succession plan does not work, if we cannot successfully set up in a durable business, the transaction team will help you find a third-party buyer or merger partner in the future when you're ready. That's the team.
That's great. I think this has been really helpful to get this broad base of understanding around succession planning, and I'd like to just try and make a good attempt here to sum up what I thought I heard today. The first thing is that it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight or that is a quick solution. A good succession plan can take years of planning and implementation. The first best steps are to explore, learn about succession planning. Read some books, read some white papers, read some articles on it and understand it and see how it fits for you. The next thing is to learn about how it could apply to you and your firm. What I think you'll learn is that through succession planning, your business will be better and stronger. Even if the succession plan does not succeed, your business will likely be stronger and better suited for the next and other options. 9 out of 10 of the next generation advisors want to actually be owners. They don't necessarily need to be entrepreneurs to be successful. So this was just an introductory podcast today on succession planning. We're fortunate enough to have David Grau, Sr., president and founder of FP Transitions with us. And I hope you've all gotten an opportunity to get a lot out of it.
On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Michael Goodman. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access more practice management and succession planning resources. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.